For those who walk with God, it's not uncommon to have moments of doubt. Sometimes we wonder, how can I be absolutely certain that I'm a child of God? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes his series titled Living Right in a Wrong World. In his final message, we're looking at 1 John 5, where the apostle ended his book by declaring, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Chuck titled today's message, Absolute Assurance.
When you get to the letter of 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, this letter is not written to those who are lost, but to those who have already believed. Not who have yet to believe, but who now believe. You who have been walking with Christ, you who have trusted in Jesus as your own master. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And why, John? Why have you written that? Since we already believe. So that you may know. That's one of his favorite words. Certainly in these verses that are at the end of the letter, it's his favorite. In 6 of the 8 verses, the word know or the word confidence appears. These are written that you may know where you stand in your eternal life relationship with God. When you read the gospel, you read it through the eyes of an unbeliever for the purpose of coming to know the Savior, the miracle-working Son of God. And believing, you may have life in his name. But when you read the letter of 1 John, you read it as a believer through the eyes of one who has already trusted him. And the desire of the writer, John, is that you not only believe it, but you live it. And as a result, you have confidence in it. So let's go to verse 18. We know that no one who is born of God sins. This is about the spiritual life. The tense of the word sin is a tense that suggests habitually going on, virtually without a break, constantly as a lifestyle. We know that no one who is born of God lives a life like that. It doesn't mean we never slip into acts of sin. It means we do not persist in sin. I want to be careful how I say this, lest it sound arrogant and not confident. I believe you can know with a fair amount of assurance that if a person's lifestyle, start to finish, dawn to dark, day after day, week after week, month after month, is evil, that person is not a believer. I don't care what they try to tell you. Because this verse says that sin continually going on and a child of God are incompatible. Can't a Christian be carnal? We're not talking about carnal Christians here. Of course we can. I have been and you have been. Truth be told, you may be right at this moment. You may be walking against the will of God and you know it and you're miserable, but it doesn't mean your entire life is spent against the will of God. One who is evil spends his life like that. Plans evil, finds delight in evil, does evil. His life is a life of sin. That person does not know the living God. Those who do know the Lord have periodic times where righteousness comes, or a life of righteousness occurs, or a commitment to pray, or a desire to serve Christ, or a willingness to sacrifice. But the one who is born of God does not live a life of habitual sin. But, watch closely, this is a sad part of the verse. He who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, but the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. See the contrast? Look closely. Verse 18 continues to say, we are kept, and the evil one doesn't even grip us. Touch is a little weak in the translation. It should be lays hold of, grabs, clings to, holds on to. The evil one cannot hold on to the believer. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. He's a doomed individual and his days are numbered. He just wants you to take him to where he's going, and that's the lake of fire. But he has no hold on the believer. That's what the verse is saying. We know that we are of God, verse 19. That's not arrogant. That's not bigoted. It's a statement of confidence. Because of Christ, we know that we are of God. And we also know what? That the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. I believe it would revolutionize our witnessing for the Savior if we remembered every day that most of those we meet are in the lap of the evil one. They don't know it. They're blind to that. They don't realize the danger of that. They don't know where their destiny will take them. They just think it's fun just playing around through life. Hey, you can only go around once. They lie in the lap of the evil one. I was watching Animal Planet the other night. I love that program. Now, this particular scene was in a swamp. And the python, big as a barrel and ugly, that tongue. And he lives in this gunky, slimy water, looking for stuff to squeeze. On the banks is a pig. All of a sudden, boom! And that giant starts wrapping around. That pig loses his breakfast, lunch, and supper out of both ends. And he goes, folks, if it took that to make this clear, it's worth it. Because this is a very depressing thought. That the whole world is playing on a shore and doesn't know the snake is there. We got to tell them or they'll never know. In fact, the one we rely on can break the grip of that snake. And only he can do it. Now, let me show you how it all ties together. This is fabulous writing, John. Thank you for it, John. Verse 20. And we know, having just said the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one, and we know, who knows? We do. Who are we? We are the ones who believe. Who are the ones who believe? They're the ones to whom John is writing. We are the believers. Not arrogant. Confident. We've had the letters of assurance sent to us, telling us how much we mean to our God and how much he means to us and the power that's come in trusting in Christ. We know that the Son of God has come and has what? Given us understanding about what? Snakes, evil, helpless individuals. They may be very educated. You work with them. You serve alongside them. You're in sales. You sell alongside them. You're in retail. You sell your products alongside them. You're in some form of service for the people, all the people around you at the other desks, serving at the other places. The neighborhood where you live, those folks who live just across the street, the folks that are in school with you, those people, they're in the lap of the evil one. But God has given us an understanding of that. For what reason? To sit in our chairs and yell to a television, to a pig that can never hear us? No, of course not. He's given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. This isn't just a good idea or another religion that has a cross connected to it. This is life. This is eternity. This is good news. And he's placed us right here in the swamp where we used to live. Till somebody told us. Now, I love the last verse. You know why? Because it's such a surprise shot. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. What? John, you're going to end the letter on idols? What is this? Why would he say that? Well, it's a warning we must always remember. Why? Because idols keep us glued to a television. Idols keep us disengaged from higher priorities. In fact, in the text, originally the word idols has a definite article. Keep yourselves from the idols. He has specific ones in mind for the first century. There are specific ones we could name today. Anything that takes the place of top priority, Christ and his message. Westcott renders this, keep yourselves from all objects of false devotion. The Living Bible. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Phillips, be on your guard, my dear children, against every false God. I'm speaking today mainly to Americans, the land we love, the land of materialism, that we can get caught up in so easily. Anything with a price tag can become an idol. Protecting a home, careful with the car, even people. It is anything we cling to too tightly. They keep you from interrupting the snake attack on the little animals. They make you convinced that, oh, they can make it on their own, or somebody else will tell them, or somehow the word will get out, or they'll read it in a book, or they'll hear Swindoll preach someday, or they'll come to the end and God will bring them to himself. Wait a minute. Didn't it occur to you that maybe it's time to be a little creative about sharing the Savior? Keeping the snakes away, people's lives? Cynthia and I have an ophthalmologist friend who's a wonderful born-again brother, and he was realizing he's spending all of his time in his operating room as well as in his clinic working with people that are struggling with eye problems, many of them struggling with cataracts and other growths and cancer. And on occasion, it would be his privilege and joy as a surgeon to remove the cataracts or whatever may be the blockage and give them sight. And he would always put them in the chair and he would take away their dark glasses. They've been not seen for who knows how long. And he puts on their new glasses and he flips down the chart. And he said, I read it one day. It said, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Or A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, all those cute things. And he said, I thought, why not have it read, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Or, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he said, I had those cards made. Put them in place. Next patient, put the glasses on. For God so loved the world. I can see that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's this about? What you don't know is before you were not only blind physically, you were blind spiritually. And he leads him to Christ. Do you think you'd want to believe in what a doctor believes in who gave you sight? Absolutely. All he did was think of a creative way to turn the conversation from inane statements to eternal truths. That's my job. If I may, that's yours as well, since you are those who have believed. But if you and I aren't careful, the BMW X5 gets in the way. The newborn baby gets in the way. Our wife. Our husband. Before the two boys in the Northwest were even conceived, before the couple even knew they would have children, it was my privilege to marry them. They were so in love, Oliver and Jenny. Both graduates from Johns Hopkins University, she top of the class, OBGYN, he oncology. Their practice was in Vermont, where they had the children. They moved into the state of Washington, where he joined a group, and practice grew and hers grew, wonderful physicians. Ovarian cancer changed everything. Everything. And Oliver has said to me, my problem was, as an oncologist, I just knew too much. So he said, I decided the last 6 months of her life, I would devote myself to her. And he did. In fact, she had always wanted to go to Hawaii, so he carried her to the lawn chair on the beach, had her sit and enjoy the boys playing in the surf. It was there she got the idea to write the letters. And they came back and life got dark. But she was convinced she would write these letters of affirmation and assurance. At the same time, Oliver tells me, he realized he needed to dethrone Jenny from his life. And he did. Keeping himself from idols, he was able to give himself to her and to the boys. He's since remarried. They have a blended family and are moving on. But those boys regularly have those letters from their mama telling him, don't ever forget I love you. In his best of all books, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer writes, let us never forget that great truths cannot be learned by rote as one would learn the facts of physical science. They must be experienced before we can really know them, as Abraham experienced them when he sacrificed Isaac. The ancient curse will not go out painlessly. The tough old miser within us will not lie down and die in obedience to our command. He must be torn out of our heart like a plant from the soil. He must be extracted in agony and blood like a tooth from the joint. He must be expelled from our soul by violence, as Christ expelled the money changers from the temple. And then he closes the chapter on the blessedness of possessing nothing. Father, I want to know thee, but my cowardly heart fears to give up its toys. I cannot part with them without inward bleeding, and I do not try to hide from thee the terror of the parting. I come trembling, but I do come. Here's a man giving up his idols. Please root from my heart all those things which I have cherished so long, which have become a very part of my living self, so that thou mayest enter and dwell there without a rival. Then shalt thou make the place of thy feet glorious. Then shall my heart have no need of thee, of the sun to shine in it, for thyself wilt be the light of it, and there shall be no night there, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just leave your Bible open with your notes there and bow your head, please. I speak to two groups today, those not knowing the snake is near or perhaps has begun to coil around you, and you're blind. And the only way for you to have sight is for Jesus Christ to give it. And I pray that as you listen to this message today, you will trust in Him and Him alone by faith and faith alone, knowing that He will receive you by grace alone. But I also speak to those who have idols. The idols have kept you silent long enough. It's time to pull the teeth. It's time to expel them from your life. Dethrone whatever that you might enthrone. Christ. At this point, you're on your own. You have to come to terms with this on your own. But if you're without Christ, I'm here to tell you we are here for you. We will help you. Trust in Christ, if not now, soon, ideally before sundown. And let us hear from you. Let us know you're there. We have no crystal ball. Connect with us by email, phone call, whatever. Just say, I need help. We'll take it from there. If you're struggling with how to deal with the idols, we can even help you with that, but that ultimately is your move. But until you deal with them, all you'll be doing is watching television. Father, thank you for the pleasure of your company in this meeting. Thank you for revealing it in many ways, the lovely strains of a Mendelssohn piece, the beauty of an organ in its music, the voices of your people singing, the silence, the scripture, the teaching, and now the response. Without your presence, it all falls flat. I pray that we will leave this place committed to the dethroning of every idol. Every idol. And may we guard ourselves from there ever being another idol as we give ourselves to the Savior as we would give to Him and no other. Thank you for truth that sets us free. And thank you for the letter of 1 John that has begun to do that for many. We're grateful for this letter of assurance. What a beautiful thing. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said, Amen.
And with his closing prayer, Chuck Swindoll concludes our multi-part study in 1 John called Living Right in a Wrong World. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. I'm pleased to tell you that on the next edition of Insight for Living, we'll usher in another great book study, this time in the fascinating Old Testament book of Lamentations. The writer is Jeremiah, often known as the Weeping Prophet. With this in mind, Chuck titled his series, Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. This is a brand new study, never before shared on the broadcast. With this transitional message, it's a fitting time to remind you that Insight for Living provides study notes for all of Chuck's messages. And you can search the scriptures with Chuck by going back and retrieving the online resource for 1 John. And you can take advantage of the Lamentation studies, beginning with the very next message. In fact, you can even download the PDF from our website and send it along to friends. Here's the exact destination online. Go to insight.org/studies. Speaking of timely resources, let me also direct your attention to one of the most highly requested messages in the history of Insight for Living. It's actually a two-part message called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. One of the messages features Chuck's sermon called Clearing Away the Trash We Regret. And in the second presentation, he asked his wife Cynthia to share her heart-rending story of a broken relationship that was restored through forgiveness. She also describes her battle with depression and the way God restored her. Insight for Living Ministries is offering the entire presentation without cost or obligation. And it's not too late to download the MP3 audio files. Just go to insight.org/findhealing. And if you have any questions, feel free to call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Once again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Most of us have been heartbroken to witness civil unrest in the public square, eclipsing the urgent medical needs imposed by the global pandemic. At Insight for Living Ministries, we believe there's never been a better time to extend God's grace to those in need.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
We're looking to add more monthly companions to the team. Become a monthly companion today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll introduces us to Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Absolute Assurance, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.